Hello again, and welcome to Crime in Music. I'm your host, Brian J. Kinsley, and with me as always, my friend Ben Rubel.
I'm not a hugger. I don't like to hug.
Doesn't like to hug. If you don't like hugs, catch us every other week, and we'll bring you a new true crime podcast, no hug included, about people in and around the music business and their misadventures into lawbreaking. If you like music history, murder mystery, people with eccentricity, and more, you've come to the right place. Share with a friend, tell a relative. Right now, we're trying to get places. Again, we're working on the stands. I know it seems kind of weird, but, well, you know what? There's actually three countries here, if I remember correctly, in South America. If we get like Peru and I want to say Argentina, we have all South America. We're covered.
If we get Guatemala
and Panama, I think we've got all of Central America. So then we've got all of the Americas in five countries. No joke.
All right, cool. So, let's bring the Americas together.
Yeah, share with your friends, people. Tell them about it. If you like the show, hit us up on all the social medias at Crime and Music, or please, please, please go leave us a SpeakPipe. I'm not begging. I'm just saying it's fun when people leave us SpeakPipe messages at our website, crimeandmusic.com. Scroll down, hit a button. You don't have to leave your name, email address. You can be anonymous.
You can do it while you're driving.
Technically, that is a true statement. We do not encourage that. I am not a lawyer. Don't drive and speak pipe
well,
at the same time.
Not a car. A horse.
Oh,
you could do it while driving your horse.
You could ride a horse. We had the great idea of, why are there cars? We should just have horses. Never have two horses ever ran into each other drunk on the road.
And you can, I mean, if you're drunk on a horse, that's fine.
No, the horse knows the way home.
The horse isn't going to, run a red light.
No. That's the beauty of horses.
I know.
And their natural beauty as it is.
Well, they poop a lot.
Mm. Yeah. What a transition. How are you doing today, man?
Good. No, Brian and I were just talking about, the COVID times and what I'm kind of, there's a few things. If and when COVID goes away, I'd like to retain a few of the new norms that we've had in our society since COVID.
Like what?
Hugging.
Oh, not hugging people?
Not hugging people. I like this idea of not feeling obliged to go to a family reunion and have to hug all the aunts, and there's some of the man hugs. I'm not into the hugging.
It's family.
Okay. What? I don't want to do it.
You can still infect me. I don't. Sorry, Grandma.
I never really had a problem with the handshake. I always thought the fist bump was cooler, though.
Do like a fist bump. That's very jujitsu stable.
I like to keep that. Not just work, but personal activities, the video conferencing, people are being forced to do it. And guess what? It's pretty good. It works pretty good. I mean, we just had a baseball little league thing they wanted to do. And this guy's like, hey, I'll just set up a Google Meet so we can do it on the video. And I'm like, yep, let's do that. I don't have to drive to the place, wait for people to show up. We just all sit on our couch, put a shirt on, don't even need pants on. Yeah, let's keep a few of these things around, man.
All right, no pants.
Nope.
Yep. Writing it down.
Nope, no pants. And yeah, I have to have a shirt.
Right. Yeah, I guess things like yoga pants and sweatpants, that market is hugely up this year.
Don't let the phone drop. Nope.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, my kids are doing the online video crap for school. And first day they do it, naked older brother walks in the background of a computer screen on a kid.
That was on purpose. Come on.
Very well may be. Very well may had been on purpose.
Come on.
But that's funny. I asked Leo, I'm like, did you see his junk? He's like, he just giggles. He's like, oh, yeah. Everybody saw it.
Wow.
It's just funny stuff, man.
This is odd. Now, see, I hear the other side of it because my wife is a teacher. And so I hear, like, these people can't even turn on a computer. It's like, I can see you. You just, okay, now you're walking away. Okay, good. That's, no, I can hear you too. You didn't mute the microphone. Plus, I have control. Like, because if she's a teacher, she has actual control. She can, like, appear on kids' screens. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, ah, there's your face. And like, I see what you're doing. Like, you know, and she has lockout where it's like, fine, you're going to look, no more YouTube. You're done. All you can do is this. And so,
I have the power.
I don't know what the right answer is, man, but yeah. Here we are.
I have assumed complete control.
And we are here again to bring you another true crime episode.
Oh, that's right. That's what we're doing.
If you'd like, we can play a little guessing game.
I know. You know, I didn't get the last one. Did not get T.I. Did not. I didn't.
These are not in chronological order. Sorry, Michelle, but Karen that's for you.
Karen likes them?
We got a request. Yeah, I don't know if you heard. There's a speak pipe from Karen. She has a little sister who can belch on command. They haven't been hanging out because of the quarantine and stuff. And she's like, could I get the burps back, please? Makes
okay.
me feel. And I
said, they never went. They were never missing.
You were against it, but that's
well,
all.
Well, now it's a part of the show, I guess. You know, your burps have grown on me, Ryan.
I will say we also haven't heard from Superfan Michelle in a bit. So, Michelle, if you're out there, just let us know you're okay and doing good.
She's fine.
Sorry, Michelle.
She's fine.
All right, are you ready to guess the guest? All right, this week I think you don't have a chance in hell.
Well, that's all right.
You might, though. You might. All right, ready?
Well, that makes me want it even more.
I know.
You know, tell me I can't do something. Guess what I want to do.
Okay, here we go. He's the kid from Goer Gulch.
From Goer Gulch?
Goer, G-O-W-E-R, Goer Gulch. The kid from Goer Gulch.
Okay, all right.
They call him Murderer.
Okay.
Murderer. Okay. The king of Western swing.
All right.
No?
No. I mean...
He called every man he met son.
Okay.
No?
No.
No. Do you know, Ben, have you ever heard of Donnell Clyde Cooley?
No.
They also called him Spade.
No, it sounds a little racist here, Brian.
It's Spade Cooley. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we're just going to fade out this last minute.
All right. I don't think I've ever heard of this dude. That's so sad. Crickets and the moans.
It's music, country music superstar Spade Cooley.
Oh, that's Spade Cooley.
You will recognize some of these songs. You will. I mean, maybe not by the words that Spade I say, but if I'm allowed to sing them, you will say. December 17th, 1910, born Donnell Clyde Cooley in Grand, Oklahoma, USA.
1910?
Yeah, man.
All right.
I said a classic country, the king of Western swing.
He invented country. Possibly the guitar.
He invented the swing. Yeah, right. No one's ever done this before. He's got some parents, John and Emma Cooley. His father made a living by playing fiddle for local dances. He also, his grandfather was a fiddle player. Guess what he plays?
For Jesus? Because that's about how long ago I feel it would have been. His grandfather was Jesus' fiddle player.
He's like the third generation.
All right.
1914, when Donnie's four, and we're going to call him Donnie, he and his parents moved to Oregon, where he's sent to an Indian school in Oregon for education. He goes to the Chemawa Indian School in Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
That's a Native American boarding school in Oregon in the United States of America, named after the Chemawa band of Kalapuya people in the Willamette Valley, Oregon.
I think you're saying all those tribe names spot on.
Thank you.
Perfectly.
It opened in February 25th, 1880 as an elementary school.
Also, all the names of the months spot on. February.
That's right.
All right.
We've learned to imitate you exactly. It has primarily served students of the tribes from the Pacific Northwest and Alaska. It's the oldest continuously operating Native American boarding school in the United States. It graduates numbers in the thousands every year. At its peak enrollment in 1926, it had 1,000 students.
Wow.
Now, here's the fun part. Curriculum there is determined by gender. So the boys were taught painting and baking and drafting, machining, masonry, blacksmithing, shoemaking, carpentry, and wagon making. Artisan skills are considered important to the rural environment, most of the reservations, so you got to have people who have those sort of skills. And the girls studied skills classified as, quote, domestic arts, end quote.
How to sweep, how to change a diaper.
Sure, maybe making food? I feel like the guy got
the
that
guy
covered,
had the,
though.
He
yeah.
had the baking sort of situation there.
Yeah, what are you doing in domestic arts?
Yeah. Huh. Making babies.
Well, anyway, this same school, we'll get a little
feeding
recent history.
Babies.
In 2016, digging graves. Numerous unmarked graves of students were reportedly to have been found at the Chemawa Indian School Cemetery. Graduate student at Montana State University, using ground-penetrating radar to scan the site, found hundreds, if not thousands, of unmarked graves by comparing data to the 200 documented grave sites. And, quote, I would have gotten it away with it, too, if it hadn't have been for you dang kids and your shark or dune buggy or your all-girl cat band and your stupid ground-penetrating radar.
Way to take that off just on a small little tangent.
Yeah, well, right.
So there were a bunch of dead, unmarked graves, dead people. Of course, most people in graves are dead. I'm sorry.
You don't bury the living. You don't bury the living, Ben. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't.
You ever seen Kill Bill?
No, I haven't. And I won't.
What?
No Tarantino. I'm against it. Go back to the fucking video right, store,
why,
hack.
Why? Oh, Brian, you got to bring it down about 40%, bud.
Why are you bringing up Tarantino? Told you many times on this show I would fight him man to man anytime he wants to step up.
If I win the lotto, I'm going to put that card together.
Oh, he's got boxing credentials. I'll whoop his ass.
I'm going to watch that little spindly dude and that goofy hair and that jacked up jaw kick your ass.
He's actually a bigger dude, I thought. He's like 6 foot, probably 200 some pounds. We're about the same size.
He's going to pound you into the ground like a steak.
Bring it, Twino.
All right, continue on our
apparently
dead children Indian ground poltergeist story.
Apparently, children at such boarding schools often suffered from epidemics in the dormitories of infectious disease.
The white man kept bringing them blankets.
Yeah. That's horrible. They had influenza and trachoma and COVID and whatever they had. So that's where he went to school.
Okay. He went to the dead baby boarding school.
Johnny went to dead baby boarding school. It's better than going to one of those children's prisons.
Sorry, Michelle.
He always had a hot head, though, and he made a lot of rash decisions. At the age of 8, he began performing in community dances and hoedowns with his dad. So this little hot-headed kid be out there like playing the fiddle. As a child, Donnie was, quote, uncontrollable, according to his mother.
Uncontrollable.
Although he originally started out as a cellist, Donnie switched to the violin during his high school years.
I don't see a big difference there.
So he was also an accomplished boxer in his mid-teenage years.
Oh, okay.
And they credit that because he apparently has some fancy footwork when he's doing his high-octane stage shows.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
So he's Native American. Am I right?
Like half. We'll get right there. I think that comes up in
13/16.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think he went to college for free, what I'm saying.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, he's at a boarding school.
Paperwork. Yeah,
they
I guess you know what?
College back then?
You know what? I think he did. We'll get there. I know what comes up. Donnie got the nickname Spade in his younger days after he drew 3 consecutive hands of spades, 1 straight flush, during a hot poker streak.
Oh, wow. So, how old was he? 8?
Yeah, right? He's in his teen years.
Okay.
The possibility of making even 1 straight flush is about 13,000 to 1.
Okay.
And he drew like 3 in a row.
They should have called him Cheat. Cheat?
I think we solved it. I think we figured that out.
Hey, Cheat, what's up?
1927, the age of 17, he marries a classmate named Anne. She is a full-blooded Eskimo Indian, and they ran away to California with their newborn son.
Okay. He knocked her up, had to get out of the hot seat.
Well, like other people fleeing poverty back then, the family ended up in California. Populations were there for the entertainment magnet because the Dust Bowl migrants are looking to get those defense jobs in World War II. Mm-hmm. We talked about this. I think it was one of those, just Lead Belly or somebody.
Some guy.
Yeah. Don't remember. But anyway, people were moving into the Dust Bowl. Like, real quick recap, you had the economic crash at, 27, and then that tapers into the dirt and, like, not being able to grow crops throughout all of the Midwest. And so people just started up and moving whole families and communities, basically the states of people. And California was good because the entertainment industry, the movie business was booming, so they were hiring a lot of people out there.
They were making boats for guns and bullets.
They
and
were
stuff
making
for the
stuff
wars.
For the war, so you could go out there and work for the defense, like just, you know, the old Bugs Bunny hitting the bomb with the hammer. Ting, ting. Yeah, these are all good. So people did that, and Donnie was one of them. He rolls out there.
With his Eskimo bride. And I just feel like that kid was wrapped in a papoose.
Probably. Although Oregon seems like it'd be warm, and then California, that kid's sweating to death.
They ski in Oregon.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, they got a
mountain. There's mountains.
They got a mountain.
1932, age 22, he moves from the mountains to Modesto, California, where he earns a living playing in bars and outdoor events near Fresno and Stockton motherfuckers for polka parties and square dances.
Polka parties.
Yeah. Playing with a number of Western-oriented acts, he gets jobs playing fiddle and stuff, doing... We got both kinds.
We got country and Western.
And that's what he does. So, 1942, Donnie joins a big band led by Jimmy Wakely, which he played at the Venice Pier Ballroom in Venice, California, playing fiddle. Several thousand dancers would turn out on Saturday nights to swing and hop. A quote from people says, quote, hordes of people and jitterbuggers loved him.
Okay, so this is in the 20s?
Yeah, 42, but
oh,
close.
All right.
Do you remember Jitterbug? The Jitterbug was a dance.
Yeah, they
did I do the Jitterbug.
Did
get
they,
the boom boom into my heart.
Is this when they no.
When black violence, loving stars.
Is that Jitterbug Billy Joel?
Into the band. Yeah, yeah.
Is that Billy Joel?
No, it's Wham, dude.
Oh. You know what that stands for, right?
No, I don't.
It doesn't, by the way.
Okay, good.
I thought it did 100%, and I brought it up to my wife, and she goes, that's not what it stands
for. Do not
for.
Disparage George Michael and Andrew Ridgely.
Well,
I mean,
and
come
then
on.
I looked it up, and there's nothing. I heard it when we were a kid. I mean, whatever.
Something's bugging me. Something ain't right.
You not that there's anything wrong with that.
Last night, left me in my bed.
What did you say? Are you sure this
should've
is Billy
been
Joel?
You inside. Wake me up. No, dude, it's Wham.
What's the song?
And I do. I know the other guy from Wham. It's Andrew Ridgely because I won an Andrew Ridgely CD off of CK 105.5 Flint Radio back when I was like in eighth grade. And I said, I don't have a CD player. Can I get a tape? And they go, no.
They laughed at you and kicked you out the door.
Pretty much. So the first CD I ever owned, I won off the radio. Andrew Ridgely, the other guy from Wham. Wake me up. So anyway,
you still got that CD?
I probably do. Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
That'd be great. We'll have to bring that
we were talking about jitterbuggers though. The Jitterbug was a dance that they would do, and again, we talked about him having like quick feet, like boxers and stuff like that. So you flick your feet around, and people who do this type of dance were known as jitterbuggers, and they loved him.
Yeah, bugger.
So when Wakely, the guy he was in his band, he gets a movie contract at Universal Pictures for Saga of Death Valley, starring Roy Rogers. And they're like, all right, well, he's gone. We need a new band leader. Let's get Donnie to play him and or replace him. And so Donnie takes over the band. You're looking up Roy Rogers now?
No.
I see.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. No, my wife texted me.
Stuff to
I
do.
I had to do a thing.
All right, so Donnie takes over the band. He turns it into the largest big band in the country and releases 6 consecutive top 10 records.
Oh, he's got a big band?
Well, that dude got the movie contract, and okay. So they're like, we need you to stepping up. So eventually, Donnie and his new family, they settle in Los Angeles. They get management help from Bobby Bennett. That's a famous talent manager back in the day.
Your name has to be alliterized if you're a talent manager.
Oh.
For sure.
Yeah. Better. Better be.
Better be.
Yeah, Bobby Bennett. So 1943, his career begins to look up because Bennett's doing the management. Donnie performs at Santa Monica Ballroom, later the Argan Ballroom at Ocean Park. He's drawing large crowds of the defense workers and the soldiers and stuff like we were talking about out there in California.
Mm-hmm.
And adoring women who helped build Donnie's reputation as a womanizing cheat.
What does his wife think about that?
Well, not so much that it was a good thing. See, Bennett, his manager, claimed that in 1 year alone, she paid off 10 women to have abortions.
Oh, wow. Oh, his manager was a woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, right. Bobby that's, Bennett. That's I'm fine. Sorry, Bobby spelled with an I. I should have said
okay.
Bobby.
My grandma's name was, that's what my brother named his daughter Bobby after my grandmother.
My grandmother was also called Bobby in reference to English police officers because she was the authoritative one in the family. So, Bobby.
You remember that dude that used to live by, when we used to hang out at Matt's? The neighbor dude across the street, that old drunk dude?
Yes,
Bobby.
I do.
Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. Yeah, it's all King of the Hill now. But.
No, it was that dude. Bob. Michelle, superfan Michelle, should definitely be getting a kick out of this because she partied with Bobby a few times over there.
I see.
The old man living in his parents' house across the street, hanging out with high schoolers. we thought it was cool.
That's all you got to know. Right. That's all you got to know. Just don't be that guy.
You just want to know who was leaving the piles of porn in the woods? That guy.
There you go. The first time I met a guy named Bobby, he was the same person who tried to convince me weekly that pooping standing up was more efficient. It's like, no, everything's lined up. I was like, what? There's like flaps and things. Like, you got to spread cheeks.
It's
going like,
to hit
it's
the
like
back of your knee.
Like, I'm going to make a pancake. He's like, no, man, I'm just telling you. Every week, he's like, you try it yet? No.
I don't have the facilities for that.
Like, do I need a special, like a hole in the floor? What do I do?
Are you standing up? I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well, let's transition into something that you do want to know about. A young, beautiful, marginally talented orchestra backup singer named Ella Mae Evans.
Marginally talented.
Literally what it said. Marginally talented.
Right.
Ella Mae Evans. Now, Ella Mae, Donnie liked her.
Lots of potential.
Ton of potential. he adds her to the band. He's like, all right, I like this girl.
I bet he does. Yeah. I bet he did.
So he divorces his Eskimo bride, Anne, and Ella May. She's like 15 years younger than Donnie. She's an okay singer, but she happened to be an extremely beautiful blonde woman.
I get a lot of talent in that. A lot of talent.
Donnie took her as his second wife in 1945. So their daughter, Melody, was born the following year.
Oh, that's nice. Melody, get it?
That's nice.
You can't sing well. Name your kid Melody.
Why would you say that?
Marginally talented.
Marginally talented. What? She is. It's fine. Okay, their daughter Melody is born. Before the baby's arrival, Ella May caught her husband with another woman.
What'd she think was going to happen? Seriously.
Well, yeah, I guess she didn't know about the 10 other Melodies that didn't quite make the page.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that get divorced and go out with other people, but if you're doing it with a dude that has a wife and he gives up that wife to marry you, don't you think he might have it in him to cheat on you one day?
No.
Really?
He's not going to cheat on me. I'm different.
I'm blonde.
I'm a beautiful blonde woman who can sort of sing.
I'm marginally talented.
All righty. So, well, if you're done with that, we'll get back to this. She gets caught with another woman. She tries packing her bags, and she tries to leave. He threatens to kill her.
Okay.
So she runs away to Texas.
It is 1945.
That's true.
Not even illegal then.
Not kill your wife. No, you totally kill your wife.
No, well, I mean, for the right reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Crime of passion. She runs away, though. She gets away. She goes to Texas, right? He brings her back.
Okay.
September 1945, he releases the song Shame on You, a Columbus Okay. It's like Oklahoma and Canada. Canada.
Ochi. Oki.
Okay. Records label. Shame, shame on you. Shame on
Texas.
You.
I had to drag
shame,
you back by
shame
your hair.
You. It stays at number one on the country charts for 2 months.
Get in the kitchen. That's why you're there.
Don't be reading. That's not for you. It hits number five on Billboard's most played jukebox folk records list.
They had specific categories, man. Even back then, I guess. Whatever.
This is the best song played by you, performed by you, this time this year. Here's your award. Thanks for coming by. Fall 1945, Soundies Distribution Corporation of America issued one of their music video-like short films of Donnie's band performing Shame, Shame on You. I feel like this is like a self-flatulation song. He's like really feeling bad internalizing it, but like telling him it's other people, but it's really him. It's like, shame on me. Shame on You is the first in an unbroken string of 6 top 10 singles, including Detour and You Can't Break My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart.
I think I've heard that song.
Just don't think you understand. 1947, Donnie began a career in television hosting the program in Los Angeles titled The Hoffman Hayride. Not the Louisiana Hayride.
Okay, I was going to say, it's not the same hayride.
This is the bootleg version of the Louisiana Hayride.
Which was the bootleg version of
the Grand Ole Opry.
The Grand Ole Opry.
Right.
Perfect.
It all comes back to the Ryman Auditorium every time. So the Hoffman Hayride, that's a popular show out of L.A. And within months, estimated 75% of all televisions in L.A. were tuned in each Saturday night to watch Donnie in the Hoffman Hayride.
Percentage-wise, that's a lot.
That's a lot
better
of people,
than the
dude.
Super Bowl.
There's like 5 channels, and I don't think the Super Bowl is invented yet, but we're there. 47?
Yeah,
I feel like
so.
We're close.
Close.
Yeah.
I think.
Donnie appeared in 38 Western films, both in bit parts and as a stand-in for cowboy actor Roy Rogers.
He's right there in La La Land, so yeah, whatever.
Now, what do you know about Roy Rogers? Anything?
He's cowboy. A cowboy.
He's a famous cowboy actor.
Didn't he sing a little bit with the head of guitar strapped to his back?
I believe so.
Whatever.
What was the name of Roy Rogers' horse? This is a Christmas story thing. Remember they're doing the quiz thing?
Smokey?
And he's like, no, that's the name of Roy Rogers' nephew's horse. He's like, who knows the name of Roy Rogers' nephew's horse? It's like it's Archer or something like that. He's like, what the? Anyway. So after being introduced to Roy Rogers, they quickly become best friends.
Did they just become best friends?
They did karate in the garage. Donnie also bore a slight resemblance to Roy. Both had the same build and kind of like that same moon face. And so Donnie was pulling down $17 a week as a Roy Rogers stand-in and stunt double.
That's What, $17 a week?
A week.
I don't even think that sounds like good money back then.
It's like you're in the movies, bud. That's, ooh, welcome.
It's like the beginning of the 50s, right?
Yes.
All right. $17 a week.
Well, he's also in the Roy Rogers backup band, the Riders of the Purple Sage. He's a fiddle player and a vocalist.
I guess another 2 pence.
Yep. You know, sage is like a marijuana derivative type thing, right?
Oh, I know.
That's why all the religious ceremonies, when we were altar boys, they were just trying to get us high, dude. I'm just telling you.
Why, Brian?
I don't know.
It was easier that way.
You'll have to talk to the Pope. He does his film career at this time with much higher visibility, because now he's done all these roles and stuff, so he's getting bigger parts in these Western movies, like all these Westerns out in California. So much so, June 1948, Donnie begins hosting the Spade Cooley Show, a variety show on KTLA-TV in Los Angeles, broadcast from Venice Pier Ballroom.
How much you got paid for that?
Well, he must have got paid a lot, because the show won local Emmy Awards. It included guests like Frankie Lane, Dinah Shore, and Frank Sinatra.
Ooh, I know that name.
That's right.
Yeah. So
they were friends. The Spade Cooley Show was viewed coast to coast via the Paramount Television Network. KTLA eventually canceled Donnie's program and replaced it with Cliffy Stone's Hometown Jamboree.
Oh, I love that show. I got all the DVDs.
What's a DVD? Donnie had it all by the end of the late 40s. He had an estate at a classy section of L.A. Got a ranch out in the Mojave Desert. It's Mojave, I know. He's got a 56-foot yacht, 100 custom cowboy suits, 50 hats, and 3 dozen pairs of boots.
Ooh, 3 dozen pairs of boots.
1949, he's also starred in 2 short films, King of Western Swing and Spade Cooley and His Orchestra. So basically, these are the precursors to music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Spade Cooley Orchestra typically included more than a dozen musicians and girl singer, all dressed in flashy cowboy get-ups. This is kind of like the Hank Sr. thing, where everybody had to wear the fancy like cowboy
sequins
dress and stuff.
And rhinestones. Yeah.
The rhinestone cowboys.
Yeah.
Even though most of the members came from places like Milwaukee, Boston, and Brooklyn, Donnie made sure they had Western names. So Smokey Rogers, the Irish-Mexican, Joaquin Murphy, Cactus Soldi, and Yodeling Blonde Bombshell, Carolina Cotton, who was born Helen Hagstrom.
Carolina Cotton.
Yeah, no, my name's Helen, thank
this
you.
This sounds like a murder mystery set up here.
In the dining room with the monkey wrench. Yeah. Spade Cooley and His Orchestra were so popular.
How popular were they, Brian?
Hey, they were so,
you got to have something right
I looked.
Here.
I looked up popular. I was like, popular jokes. That will not get you what you want. I'm doing Boolean queries, like putting shit in quotes, and I've got like plus. I was like, I don't know. They could suck a golf ball through 50 foot of hose. That's how popular they were.
Okay. No. All right, we got to work on that now.
They were so popular, they couldn't meet all their bookings. So, like, there were rumors that Donnie had 2 or 3 bands on the road simultaneously, all being called Spade Cooley and His Orchestra. And so they even had fake Spade Cooleys who would front the bands. And if in a certain place, like, they didn't have enough coverage, and they were thinking they were Rubes and Hicks, they're like, they're not going to know it's not him.
It's like the Village People.
Right. So just like them, one time, Donnie, he starts a show, like starts his one gig, right, playing with the orchestra, and he's like, all right, guys, I'm gonna go take a quick little break here, get some water, go use the restroom. And he jumps in a cab, goes across town, does another couple songs with
fires,
the other Spade Cooley show,
fires up another show,
yep, starts with the band, then jumps in a cab and goes, like, so he's doing the loop during these shows.
Dude, that's awesome.
Double dipping.
That's awesome. That's like when, who was it on Live Aid?
Oh yeah,
they opened,
was it Phil Collins?
Opened, maybe.
I think it was Phil Collins.
Opened in New York.
Yep.
Or
England.
And then flew over to England and closed the show over there.
Yep.
What, if it was Phil Collins, I'm impressed with that.
I feel like it was Phil Collins. I don't remember.
All right. Homework. Here's homework for all of our listeners.
Call us out, guys, if you want to.
Or was it, it wasn't Clapton, was it?
We haven't done Clapton yet. But I will tell you, the crimes of the Beatles and the crimes of the Rolling Stones are coming. So
I'd love to do those shows.
Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Christmas presents are coming, everybody.
All right, tasty treats.
So Donnie's career is catching fire, man. Like, just like the Stones and the Beatles, the dude is on top. He's got his own weekly television show. He's got
seven concerts going at once.
He's triple dipping every night on the weekends. He's got lucrative music and movie contracts. He's got a mansion in L.A. We talked about the yacht. He's hanging out with Roy Rogers and Frank Sinatra. He's got friends are
Question.
Members of the most like Southern.
Is he paying taxes?
Well, this is the next point. He's also got really close friends who are Southern California law enforcement agency people. So he's really tight with the cops and the feds.
All right.
He regularly plays free benefit shows. He's got a good reputation all around town that follows him around.
Still got a lot of cards to go, Brian.
I do. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a little break right now while Donnie's on top and like doing good.
Okay.
See, the cough button would have been good.
No, it's COVID taste. We're, you know, everybody just cringe right there. They heard a little.
You made a noise. Ah! All right. Go clear your throats, everybody. Get some water. Buckle up. And we'll be right back after this song from my high school band, 21 Days. And we're back.
All right, I'm excited.
What did you what'd you do with your break?
I talked to you.
Wow, it's just on the sheet here. I have to read what it says.
We said things that can't be recorded, and now we're back.
Enough said. Moving on. So what we're talking about, Donnie Spade Cooley here. Donnie is super popular. He's got the movies. He's got his TV show. He's the king of Western swing.
He's at the top, Brian.
The popularity of Western swing, though, unfortunately, is taking a dip now. Because once you reach the top, nowhere to go but down.
Right.
And so... Even though he's reportedly earning $500,000 a year back in like the 40s.
That's good money today.
So he's crushing it.
Yeah.
Donnie gets a little bit more distressing because Western swing's taking a dip, and he thinks his wife might be cheating on him. He's like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of people cheating nowadays, and I think she might be one of them. No? That's what you're just going to
Well, I mean, he's already been a cheater all of his life.
Shame,
and all of a sudden this happens.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame on me.
Donnie insisted his wife give up her career to care for their children, Melody,
stay home,
and son Donnell Jr.
Stay home where you can give a little closer eye.
I learned it at school. What the girls did when I went to school, they just learned how to take care of the babies.
Yeah. You feed them, you burp them. That's the first week in school.
And then, you know, repeat.
Yeah.
So now Ella Mae Cooley, she was like, you accuse me of cheating. I don't understand what you're talking about. I feel a little skeptical. I think you're doing something wrong. But then she confesses to one of her friends that she did have an affair with Roy Rogers in 52 or 53. I don't remember.
Oh, so she was banging Roy.
Yeah. Fritz.
not Jason Roy.
No, not the other, co-host who will come in here. I don't think he was sleeping with Ella Mae Cooley.
I saw his mom yesterday.
How's she doing?
I just saw her walking through the yard.
Are you can follow them on Facebook at Roy Greenhouse or Roy Family Farm.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she was out there helping somebody with some pumpkins.
There you go.
Yep.
Not to date the show, but thanks.
What?
Why would people be buying pumpkins if not for Halloween?
Maybe a pie.
I stand corrected. Donnie continues to record things, but the group's popularity starts dipping. Like I was telling you, Western swing's not as popular as it used to be. The public taste of change. Eventually, he fires the orchestra and replaces it with an all-female band. He's like, I got an idea. People love the ladies.
I know somebody that runs a brewery like that. We're only going to hire young, attractive women to
We'll just let
beer.
That go. He's a heavy drinker, Donnie, much like our friend in the brewing industry. He descends into horrible, horrible alcoholism, and his career declines. He suffers a series of minor heart attacks. If you feel like you're having a heart attack, people, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
Yeah, just sidebar. Go. Right?
You can't feel parts of your body, go get that checked out.
Yeah, don't wait 10 days.
Donnie cuts his final recording in 1959, and maybe he saw the handwriting on the wall because the B-side of his last single was a half-hearted attempt at a rock and roll song. He's like, all right, Western swing is dead. Let's try it. It's a 1-4-5 blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up.
What's this stuff? Rockin' what? What?
You might not be ready for this, but your kids are going to love it.
Chuck Berry? What?
Marvin Berry? Your cousin? 1959, Donnie begins planning a never-built amusement park for Kern County to be called Water Wonderland.
My kids did not like Back to the Future.
What's wrong with them?
I know, right? They wouldn't even watch the third one, which is actually for a
Sorry,
third
Michelle.
Movie.
Right.
It's a pretty good movie.
You know there's a fourth one, right?
No, there's not.
There is. Back to the Future, Doc Brown saves the world.
No.
Yeah, because
same
if
actor?
You... Well, yeah, yeah. No, it's Lloyd, whatever his name is.
Christopher?
Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd. What happens is because Back to the Future Part 2 takes place in, what, 2015?
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't have the Mr. Fusion and we don't have all those things.
No hoverboard.
No hoverboards, right. What happens is all those things, Doc Brown is like, they bring the ruin of society. Like, there's no, like, the future crumbles and there's nuclear war and stuff. So what he does is he goes and he, like, sort of wipes clean history of the Mr. Fusion and the hoverboards and all that stuff. So that's why it's like it is now, because Doc Brown
saved
the world.
Where can I find this movie? Don't
IMDb will tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's on there.
I got to get there.
I was on a kick of doing classic movies. I went through Back to the Futures and I went through the Indiana Joneses.
This is like a fan-made thing, clips of him all over making a movie.
I know. This is an actual movie. Okay. He stars as an actor. There's a script. If you guys like things that are about sci-fi in the future, check out the podcast Sci-Fi Party. They talk about optimistic futures of sci-fi, and you'll learn things about
them. They talk about the fun part of sci-fi.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
not the doomsday. And
no,
all
positive
the
futures.
Terrible
positive
stuff.
Futures. Yeah. Much like Waterworld was a doomsday sort of movie, his Water Wonderland, he wanted that to be a wonderful park like Walt Disney. It's going to feature boat races. There's going to be a lot of swimming. They're going to have a broadcast studio for doing TV series and stuff.
And where was he going to put this at?
This is out in the Mojave Desert, Mojave Desert.
Or you can just go to Lake Mead.
You could.
Just there's a lot of boating and swimming and boat races.
But again, Disney opened in 1955-ish, and so by the 60s, Walt was making money hand and fist.
Okay,
and
so he's trying to...
Donnie's like,
okay.
If we do Water Wonderland... we'll have the same thing. It's he has that ranch in the Mojave Desert.
I have the most wonderful new age idea. Let's make a theme park.
Waterworld. I like that movie. I don't care what people say.
I like that movie. I like Waterworld. I like the movie. I thought it was a neat movie.
Kevin Costner was great. I got the action figure. I don't. It's like a Robin Hood action figure, but
honestly,
still, it works as Waterworld.
It's the only good movie Kevin Costner's ever done.
I like The Postman.
That's fighting. Them's fighting words in some places.
Ford Lincoln Mercury's squaring up on me. Look at you. Okay, so he's got this ranch in the desert, and he's like, can we get families in L.A. to take a 50-mile round trip to out to the oasis in the desert? And so he buys up 50 acres around his ranch. He gets some business partners, and they start development on Water Wonderland.
Okay.
I'm going to make T-shirts. Welcome to Water Wonderland. Woo!
The park's closed, folks.
The moose of the geisha, I told you. February 8th, 1960, Donnie is honored by the installation of the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I don't think they're that hard to get.
You got to pay $30,000.
I could get one.
Yeah. By this time, his television series had been canceled. He'd fired everybody in the Spade Cooley Orchestra, and he was basically semi-retired.
Okay. And he's building a theme park.
And he's got this theme park going. His mental health is not going so well. He's got one friend saying that Donnie would have been on heavy-duty antidepressants if he'd been around during, like, the medicated times like we live in. Like, yeah, no, that dude would have been a pill popper. He was super depressed and all stressed.
Well, if he was just a terrible alcoholic, that leads to depression.
His condition wasn't helped by the fact that Donnie was insanely jealous when it comes to Ella May, who admittedly was cheating on him, but not with 10 people at once. She convinced her life was one round of sex orgies after another out there in the desert. He's like, I'm out on tour and she's out there in the sex cult.
She's just banging randos.
Banging Kevin Costner and Waterworld crew. Just all of them. What are those guys called? The smokers. Just jamming through the smokers.
Just
all of them.
Going through the smokers.
One after another. Of course, this probably had something to do with the fact that Donnie had been stepping out on Ella since the day they were married. There's a story that went out that old Donnie wasn't shy about taking on multiple sex partners when the opportunity arose.
Like at a time?
Well, it doesn't really specify,
like,
but...
Like a twofer?
The way I read it was more like a fifer. So,
ah.
If it arose, if it came up.
All
if, you
chicks
know.
Or chicks and dudes?
No, just chicks. All
right.
He was... All right. He was with the ladies.
Just one. Just
no, no, no. You're right. It's a valid question. Yeah. I was just gonna say, not that there's anything.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
A dude could have slipped in there at one point. Who would have known?
No, Rhinestone Cowboys.
Who would have
known? I mean, come on. With no more evidence than two of his new business partners, like had these effeminate mannerisms, like the guys who were in on Water Wonderland, right? They were actually gay. and he didn't know that, right? And an investigator that Donnie hires years later finds out that they were actually gay. But they had befriended Ella Mae, right? And so they would go out to the ranch and like, oh, we're just out scouting the property for the water world. And we just thought we'd stop in and have lunch with Ella Mae and stuff like that. But Donnie,
right.
Sorry, Michelle. There you go, Karen. He thinks they recruited his wife into what he described as a, quote, free love sex cult.
So he's really in, he believes, she may be cheating on him. She may be.
Not with the two gay guy developers.
Well, it's not always an orgy. He may be always an orgy.
I was going to say, he seems to do the orgies, but
hey,
okay.
When you point your finger at somebody, there's always those three pointing back
pointing
at
right
you.
Right back at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, come on.
Well, this is pretty much the 60s, and if you think about when Donnie was born, what I say, 1910.
19 freaking 10.
A man of his generation might be confused about the radical differences between homosexuality and free love and sex cults. So I can see how he could blend those together in his mind.
Reefer madness.
Oh my God. Ah. No, that's not.
Well, yeah.
That's not what it is. You're not going to murder people because you just smoked a doob. Okay.
What are you foreshadowing?
Just because there's some guys who are a little flamboyant, it doesn't mean that they're going to like be in a sex cult with your wife. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, he didn't understand. He is painting everything with a broad brush. He figured anything that was out of his norm was a sex cult.
Stay up with the times, people. Honest to God, it's not that difficult. Don't get stuck.
Did you look up soaking? Come on.
It's been a week and I haven't looked up soaking. I'm sorry.
Two weeks.
I don't want to. I feel like I'm going to get something on my phone if I look up soaking. Anything is sexual nowadays.
Everything can be, yeah.
I mean, I could use something different than Pornhub as my search engine, but still, you didn't specify.
It's all porn.
All there. So basically all Donnie knew was that he was certain they were putting the pork to his wife and, this could not stand. Nobody bangs my wife. Not even me.
So he's like 50,
pretty close to it. Yeah. If it's 40 some or the '60s, I'm sorry. You're right. 10. Yeah. So he's gotta be in his mid late 50s.
All right.
Tired of being spied on and of enduring all night accusations of her infidelities. Ella Mae files for divorce.
She wanted more sex cults.
I think this is pretty much the dodge on that. Like, oh, you think I'm in a sex cult? I am not. I'm divorcing you so I can go spend more time in the sex cult.
Oh, what? I haven't even sex culted a little bit. I'm going to sex cult all over
so
everything.
Hard.
So hard.
I am sex culting this whole county.
I am going to sex cult all day and all night.
Well, Donnie, being a man of that generation, March 23rd, 1961, counterfiled for divorce, citing incompatibility and seeking custody of their three children, Melody, Donnell Jr., and John. But then he changes his mind and he asks Ellie Mae to take him back.
Well, she still had the divorce stuff going on.
Well, yeah, she's like, I want a divorce. He's like, divorce me? I want to divorce you. He's like, you know what? On top of that, I'll take the kids. I don't want the kids. I want you back. Let's get back together. Can we get back together, please? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Pussy.
Donnie dropped the divorce proceedings. He hired a private detective to check up on his wife. And as Donnie put it, after Ella Mae was... that doesn't make any sense.
You wrote it.
I did. Donnie dropped the divorce proceedings. He hired a private detective to check up on his wife, as he put it, after Ella Mae was released. From what, though?
You got any bumper music for this, Brian? A bum 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 bum.
I got nothing. All right. The PI didn't have to work too hard, though. In a few weeks, Donnie calls him, and he says his wife is now ready to admit her affairs, and he put Ellie Mae on the line. And so Ellie Mae states to the detective that she had one 30-minute quickie with a man at a local motel, providing both the date and the motel's location, but refusing to give the guy's name. She's like, all right, you got me. A bank dude in a hotel. I can tell you who.
She just threw him a little bone here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
just because he's like poking at her. Like, come on, you know you did it. You did it. This guy says you did it. He's following you around. He's like, fine. I bang Roy Rogers in a hotel. Don't tell anybody. Wink, wink.
But I didn't inhale.
No. So she closed the conversation with the statement that she'd love Donnie until the day she died.
She said that?
Yes.
Is she dead now?
Well, April 26, 1961, Donnie is indicted by a Kern County grand jury for the murder of his wife, Ellie Mae.
So she told him, I did bang a dude, and he killed her.
Well, we'll get there. Yeah, kind of.
A little bit.
At the trial, Melody, their daughter, she gave eyewitness testimony against her father.
Ooh, I don't know how old that kid was.
14.
Okay.
Here we go. This is from Melody Cooley, daughter. Quote, "When I entered, he was on the phone. He was talking to his business partner, and he said, 'Don't call the police.' He was real sweaty, and he had blood spots on his pants. He put down the phone, and he said, 'Come here. I want you to see your mother. She's going to tell you something.' And he took hold of my arm, and he took me into the den. The shower was running in the bathroom. Mother was in the shower, and he opened the door, and he said, 'Get up. Melody's here. Talk to her.' He grabbed her by the hair and dragged her into the den. Both hands, she was undressed. He banged her head against the floor twice, called her a slut. She couldn't move. She seemed unconscious. He turned back to mother, and he said, 'We'll see if you're dead.' And then he stomped her in the stomach with his left foot, and he took a cigarette, which had been smoking. He burned her twice. Donnie picked up a gun, pointed it at her, and he said, 'You're going to watch me kill her, Melody. If you don't, I'll kill you too. I'll kill all of us.' Donnie testified that Melody was lying, but admitted, quote, 'Rockets ran through my brain when Ellie Mae told me her desire to join a free love cult.'"
This guy.
Court transcripts. Oh, yes. Go ahead. Reaction?
Holy shit. That's bad stuff.
Yeah.
You drag your kid into that crap?
Yeah, forcibly.
I mean, if it's true.
It is.
It sounds awfully specific from a 14-year-old not to be true.
Yeah, court transcripts describe the vivid detail, the hours-long brutal torture he inflicted on Ellie Mae in front of their daughter. Finally, when Ellie Mae became unresponsive, an ambulance was called, and she was taken to Tepachi Hospital, where she was pronounced dead.
Oh, my God.
Kern County law enforcement officers were first called to the hospital and then to the Mojave substation for more than an hour. Donnie, he's wearing his Western gear and his cowboy boots. He was interrogated by Harmon Cooper, a senior detective with Kern County Sheriff's Department. Interrogation's a bit of a strong description, so because they seriously verbally like danced around. Like, well, I wouldn't say they. Well, did you do? Well, there's. What do you mean by is? You know, shit like that.
So did he have his lawyer with him then?
It's all recorded on tape. No, it's just the two men. They're extraordinarily polite to one another, given the circumstances. You're like, I think they insinuate that the investigator was somewhat of a fan. And so Cooper, he just wants to get to the bottom of the story. That's the investigator. But Donnie wants to tell the story about how Ella Mae died. She fell in the shower, what he keeps claiming. You know, and then he rambles off on some story about she's in a sex cult and banging all these gay dudes. So, after the interview and the search of the ranch, Donnie is arrested for suspicion of murder and transported to county jail in Bakersfield. If you remember the Bakersfield Sound, he was kind of in with those dudes.
So, he had other kids, too. Were they not in the house, maybe?
They were the younger kids. Yeah, Donnell Jr. and John, and I think they're just, like, kids. This Melody was, like, in her teens or 12, 14.
3-year-olds run around the house regularly.
Well, if you're a famous music star, I think you got
nannies
and people like, you know, family take care of them and stuff. It never was specified where the younger kids were.
Okay.
So while he awaited trial, Donnie had quote the run of the jail, and he could have just about anything he wanted. He was not confined to his cell. He was allowed to walk the jail corridors whenever he wants, just walking around.
You know who I am?
Running his hands on the bars of the other inmates. Hi guys.
Oh, you want a candy bar? I'll go get you one. Hold on.
And then he never comes back. I can see him doing that.
Eating a candy bar.
He ate with the law enforcement officers in their dining room. He was served much better food than the regular inmates were given.
So he was getting four-star service.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Now, I didn't include a bunch of graphic shit, but just so you all understand, he stomped his wife to death with his boot, crushed her stomach and ribs, and then burned her on the nipples to see if she was still alive to get a reaction out of her. Just to let you know what, and then the jailer people. In front of his daughter. Yeah, in front of his daughter. Forcibly in front of his daughter at gunpoint. And then these fucking jail people are like, "Hey, come out. We got this pizza night and then Taco Tuesday.
I just happened to bring my camera. Would you mind signing a couple shirts for me?"
Somebody else who made a name off of Donnie, August 21st, 1961. He's defended by attorney P. Basil Lambros. What was the longest case in county history at the time. So this is essentially the O.J. trial original format.
One of the big trial trial of the decade, century.
Like, century. This is. Well, it was actually labeled. Years. It was labeled trial of the century.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Well, that's true.
We don't have any big ones going on right now, do we?
The courts are closed, technically. I mean,
no,
everyone's doing video courts.
Even before that.
Oh.
I mean, what's the last
who's
big
Who's the guy
case?
Who's pissing on people?
Who
oh,
ain't?
I thought you meant for
who
us.
Ain't?
Like, Chris Brown and Takeshi 6ix9ine are like, but.
Those, I don't think.
I don't think Chris Brown's done yet.
We haven't had, I mean, Takeshi hasn't really killed anybody. I mean.
No,
whatever.
He just turned, the follow-up's coming because he turned on people, so he's got a death mark in the world.
So we haven't had a big one in a while. In a while.
Knock on wood.
It'll happen.
R.I.P. Eddie Van Halen.
Now you're dating the show, Brian.
I'm just saying. It's still sad.
Yeah, he was a young dude. That was a cancer thing, wasn't
colon
it?
Colon cancer. Yeah. Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Prostate, colon.
I got here, I told Brian this morning. I was like, I just talked to my friend, won't name a name here. So this morning, and colon cancer is a real deal. It's affected people I know very closely. Negatively. Huh. Yeah.
Is there a positive effect of colon cancer I'm unaware of?
I can't even paint the sunny side of that slope. But
I really look good in purple.
So my buddy, I called him this morning. His dad passed away of colon cancer years ago. So he's really making sure gets everything checked. Well, he sounds all weird. He's pretty early in the morning. Come to find out, he's still all drugged up after a colonoscopy. I just started laughing. I said,
"Yep,
but you didn't have to answer the phone. I'd talk to you later." He goes, "No, it's fine. I'll talk to you now." I ended up letting him go because I didn't want him to break some sacred trust he had with the son. Yeah, I didn't want him to tell me some big secret.
Revelation.
You know, when people are adult. I mean, he was loopy. Like,
how would having someone violate your beehole stop you from making a phone call? Those two things are not connected. Well, I mean, they're directly connected, but not directly.
I don't look at it like, I mean, I don't think the actual procedure is as bad as you think. It's the preparation. You got to drink all that nasty crap. And then coming out of the anesthetic. Ugh.
Colonoscopy, you said?
Yeah.
That's with the camera, right?
Yeah.
All right. Have you had a prostate check? You're
no.
A man in your 40s?
No, I should. I'm sure I should.
It's not
I mean,
that
I
big of a deal.
It's all still there.
I check it every week.
Yeah. I put an Apple iWatch up there. It's monitoring all the time.
Every Sunday in the bath.
All right. How about more Donnie killing his wife, stomping on her head?
Well, all right. You want to talk about wasting time? here's a good waste of time. After 19 hours of deliberation, he's convicted of first-degree murder by the Kern County jury.
Oh, that's a big one.
Well, 19 hours. And you have an eyewitness who saw him stomp, whatever.
They wanted to get another meal out of it.
Well, hang on to that thought. After unexpectedly withdrawing the insanity plea, because he originally pled insane, they're like, we're going to drop that. We're not going to call himself. He was spared the death sentence in the gas chamber and was sentenced to life in prison. Now, I actually looked up life in prison because it was linked and underlined right there, so I didn't have to do much. But it was like, yeah, the duration of the rest of that person's life or a set time determined by the presiding body. So it's like, it means both. It can be either 20 years, 25 years, or it can be the rest of your fucking life.
Okay. No, I knew that life sentences, a lot of them were, there actually was an end date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We'll get there. Winters recalled. Who's Winters?
Jonathan?
Sure. And they call me Mirth. Wasn't he Mirth? Anyway. That's the guy who's writing about the trial. So this dude is writing about the trial. He's like, when the jury of 10 men and 2 women handed down the verdict, the jurors were weeping, like crying. They rose from their seats and they hugged Donnie like super tight. Some of them kissed him. Even the men were crying, it said. So they were super upset that they're like...
And they know what he did.
Yeah! Now, 1966, when former actor Ronald Reagan is elected governor of California, Donnie's Hollywood friends start lobbying to get a pardon or parole.
Okay.
With Reagan's support, the state parole board unanimously recommends parole for Donnie. warden,
yeah, no
let
shit.
Me out of jail.
He got out of jail?
August 5th, 1968, California State Adult Authority voted unanimously to parole him on February 22nd, 1970.
So how long was he in altogether for?
He ends up serving, what, many years? A couple years, man. 20 years?
Oh, he did get a 20 spot on him?
So if he win it, well, if he win it, no, 9 years. I think it's going to end up being 9 years.
Oh,
we'll,
wow.
We'll get there.
Okay,
we'll get all
right.
There. Yeah, there it is. Donnie served nearly 9 years of his life sentence and was in poor health from heart trouble, like we were talking about.
I wonder how good of a relationship he ended up having with his daughter.
Two cards and I'll tell you. Here's the thing. November 23rd, 1969, he's not free yet, but he gets a 72-hour furlough from the prison hospital unit to go to Vacaville to play a benefit concert for the Deputy Sheriff's Association of Alameda County at the Oakland Auditorium.
Ah, bullshit.
So, warden. Yeah, come on. Come dance for my friends, bud. And so...
You're too bad for society, but you can come to our ball.
Well, don't worry. They get theirs, because during intermission, after a standing ovation, Donnie drops his fiddle, drops dead of a heart attack backstage.
Aww.
So he is interned at Chapel of the Chimes Cemetery in Hayward.
So he never really got out of jail.
Nope. Donnie had also not been told before his death that Reagan decided to pardon him. So he didn't even know.
All right, there's a little bit of...
A little karma there.
A little, yeah. A
tiny little sliver of karma. He is believed to be the only convicted killer with a star on the Walk of Fame.
Really? OJ's not on there?
I don't think OJ got a star. No, football stars don't get there.
No, he was a Naked Gun.
Oh, that's true. Right.
We did watch that the other day.
That's a good stupid one, man. Those are great. Leslie Nielsen, his delivery is amazing. He's so dry.
Priscilla Presley was in that.
Yes. Yes, yeah. She was. Yeah. That's great. What's the airport line? Was it? Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, you don't watch airport. We're going to end on a quote like we do from Donnell Clyde Spade Cooley. Quote, I came to... I can't do none of this. This will all be edited so I sound awesome, just to let you know.
You won't. So this no is point. Not... None of this is getting edited.
Oh, it is.
It's going to be three times a try. And
no.
You're like, huh, I think you forgot to proofread that.
You have never heard that ever, because I don't do that. All right. This is the one, because there's a couple high points I gotta hit. I gotta hit the quote, and I gotta hit that. Okay. We're gonna end the show like we do on a quote from Spade Cooley himself. He says, quote, I came to California with a fiddle under one arm and a nickel in my pocket. Spade Cooley, everybody.
Oh, we got the...
I didn't like him.
No, that last little bit, man.
Guy was
a jerk. I don't like the diddling little kids.
Well, no, none of that.
Thank God. I don't like the ones that, beat up the women.
Yeah, don't beat women.
If you're getting into gun battles with other drug crime syndicates,
you want to have a shootout.
That's just business. Yeah, you're not supposed to stomp women in the stomach.
No.
Nah.
Not what you're supposed to do.
No.
Even if you're cheating on them with 10 women at a time and...
Even if they're cheating on
you. They're cheating on you. Don't stomp people. Shame. Don't make your kids watch for the love of Pete.
And then that was the doubling factor.
Yeah. See, it was like up, then hard turn, to the negative right at the end there. You're just like, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah. Well, he was doing a lot of big stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was doing well. Yeah. Pioneered music videos, got in the movies. And
making big bucks. He was going to give Walt Disney a run for his money.
Yeah, man. Waterworld was coming. I mean, yeah. Spade Cooley. Interesting, eh?
Yeah. No, I won't be going home trying to listen to his music. But...
Oh, you should. It's classic country Thursday night, dude. It is. It's all of it. It's great. You're just oh, my God. And he's got the accordion
not my style.
And you're just like, woo.
Not my style. Awesome.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I need the modern country and western. I like the 80s and the 90s.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, because we're talking about modern country and western, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of Crime and Music. If you've liked what you heard, give us a review. If you want to leave us your own feedback so that we don't have to just skip feedback, we can actually listen to feedback. Go to crimemusic.com, scroll on down to the old feedback button. It says speak pipe. Push it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to leave email address. You don't have to leave your name. It can be totally anonymous. And you can say whatever you want. You can be like, you guys are awesome. Or you can be like, you guys are dicks. And so either way, we'll play it on the show.
This show?
Well, a show.
Faux show?
Faux show. It might be. F-A-U-X faux show. But please do that. Hit us up. I got nothing else. You got anything else?
No, it's a beautiful day. We should go out and ride bikes or something.
Let's go do that.
All right.
All right, guys. Like the song says, never trust a big butt and a smile.
Bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
Thank you. Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.